This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it. It's Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. The Sugar Bowl is in the books. The Ole Miss Rebels will advance to the national semifinals. Lane Kiffin, if you're listening, buddy, so much for going to LSU because it's a better chance to win a national championship. Your team is going to be a game away from playing for one without you. Ole Miss wins 39-34 as they closed as 6.5-point dogs, winning the game by 5 in the Sugar Bowl over the Georgia Bulldogs. To dissect that game and look ahead to the national semifinals, we're going to go out to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in our buddy. He is Eric Cohen, Sportsline handicapper at Cohen's Corner AZ on X, and he joins us now on the Progressive guest line. EC, talk to me, man. I had a feeling Ole Miss was live. I bet them incorrectly. I took them on the first half number. I thought we'd get a really inspired showing early, but maybe in the second half it fell apart. What do you make of what Trinidad Chambliss just did? 30 of 46, 362, two touchdowns through the air, ran for 13 on the ground, but it felt like a lot more. What do you think of his performance?
Yeah, he was on a heater, Dustin. I mean, it was unbelievable how he willed his team. With that said, I have Fiesta Bowl tickets. I go every year. I thought I was going to see Ohio State and Georgia. And by no means did I think Miami and Ole Miss was ever a possibility. I thought Georgia would win this game, and I had the underline. I have been so far off on these college football playoff games. I need to do some real studying before next week. But I will tell you this. You and I both had our parents, at least one of them went to the University of Miami. The Hurricanes will win that game in Glendale next Thursday. And people are betting them. Since you and I have been talking, the Hurricanes went up from 2.5 to 3 points, and the over went from 51.5 to 52.5 as well.
That is incredible. So I'm looking at it right now. I'm seeing Miami laying 3, total of 52.5. And what Miami did to Ohio State, I got to tell you, I know a lot of sharp people who are on Miami. And as a Miami fan, I said, guys, I can't do it. I was on the under. I bet the under as soon as it got up to 42. I thought that was way too big of an overreaction for the matchup. And I knew Miami's defense would show up. I didn't know how the offense would look. I think the offense is going to be able to move the ball against Ole Miss. But Reuben Bain chasing down Trinidad Chambliss, I don't think it's going to be so easy. This feels like a game that comes down to the third quarter for me, and then maybe Miami finds a way to just limit what Ole Miss is doing offensively. But right now, if I force you to look at that total, would you think under 52.5 or over?
I would lean under. Now, I want to take a look at it again. I Miami's not going to win a firefight against Ole Miss, in my opinion. I think Miami, with that defense, they were so good on the lines of scrimmage against Ohio State. I mean, that Miami defensive line wrecked the game, and Miami's offensive line was great as well. I think the Hurricanes want to keep it out of Trinidad Chambliss' hands. I would lean something like Miami 27, Ole Miss 23, if you were to ask me right now. So I'm right near the number, but I may change that throughout the week.
Our buddy Eric Cohen's with us, handicapper over at Sportsline at Cohen's Corner AZ on X. Well, let's look back at what went down earlier today on New Year's Day. Happy New Year, by the way. Oregon with the shutout of Texas Tech, 23-0. I was on Oregon in the under, but I was really shocked at how lackluster Texas Tech looked. I mean, feels like it's a big ding for the Big 12 overall looking at head to next year. What'd you make of the Ducks' performance in that spot in South Beach?
I did not see a shutout coming at all. Baron Morton was brutal for Texas Tech. The Red Raiders defense was phenomenal to only hold Oregon to 23 points. I mean, it should have been 50-0 the way that Oregon's defense dominated that game. With that said, going up against Indiana now, there's a rematch angle. Listen, we just saw a rematch. We saw Ole Miss and Georgia. And what happened in the rematch, Dustin? The team that lost the first time won the second time. Oregon plus 4 to me is very, very live. Now, I also thought Alabama could beat Indiana, and I picked it, and that was a really bad pick. So maybe I'm not the right person to fade Indiana, but right now I'm leaning Oregon and over in that game. If you were to ask me right now a quick pick, give me something like Oregon 30, Indiana 27.
How about this? We look at the national championship odds. Because there's only 4 teams remaining, obviously everything's super short. Indiana plus 135, Oregon 3-1, Miami 3-1, Ole Miss 5.5-1. Does that all sound about right to you?
So it does. For me, what I would do, if you really want to make some money, I would bet Miami. I think Miami and Oregon, I just told you, I think they win the game. You could bet Miami and Oregon both at 3-1 and still cash it.
That's true.
If you threw enough money on the line. Yeah, I mean, you could make some money that way.
Yeah, okay, but here's the problem. I am someone who's in a bit of a conundrum. I was on Indiana last year. I had them on their win total over. I had them on their win total over this year as well. I didn't take any to win the Big Ten. I didn't take any to win the national title. I didn't have any to make the playoff, and I bet against them so many times in big games. How you really feel okay betting against Cignetti in a big game with all the attention and how he has that aura about him?
Well, I don't feel good about betting. And every time I bet against Indiana, I get smoked. But there's a revenge angle here.
Yeah.
Is Indiana good? I mean, Indiana's really good. Don't get me wrong. Are they good enough to beat this Oregon team with that defense that we saw in the Orange Bowl today? Oregon with the payback angle. And I don't think Dante Moore, I think he's a little bit overrated, but that Oregon defense was flying. I think they're going to have a game plan for Fernando Mendoza. I mean, I may change this pick because this is just off the cuff here, but I lean Oregon. I really think that Oregon, Miami, the Mario Cristobal National Championship on his home field, wild, wild storyline.
Oh, that would be epic. Eric Cohen is our guest, Sportsline handicapper at Cohen's Corner AZ on X. All right, you do have some other bowl game bets coming up this week, and tomorrow we have the Armed Forces Bowl, Rice and Texas State. Texas State laying 16.5, totals 55.5. Which direction are you looking here?
Texas State scored 30 or more in 10 of 12 games this year. The only two they didn't were against James Madison and Arizona State. But Rice doesn't belong in a bowl game, Dustin. 5-7, they're missing their top two quarterbacks. This is going to be ugly, especially if Rice's option offense does not work. Give me Texas State 45, Rice 17. I'm laying the points, and I'm playing the over.
Liberty Bowl is tomorrow. Navy's laying 7. Your total is 54.5. How do you want to play this one?
Does Cincinnati even want to be here? I mean, they're down at least 5 starters on defense and their quarterback, Brendan Sorsby, and they lost 4 straight games to end the season. So the under 54.5 is my top play, but I think Cincinnati's going to come out with some fight. I actually like them plus the points as a lean, but the under is my top play. Navy 26, Cincinnati 21.
All right, the Duke Mayo Bowl getting going. Wake Forest, Mississippi State. You've got the Bulldogs laying 3. The total's 53.5. Anything jump out to you there?
Wake's 8-4, Mississippi State 5-7, yet the Bulldogs are favored? Enough with this SEC bias. Ooh. Wake boasts a top 40 run defense, and they should be ultra motivated to be here in their home state. Mississippi State has given up 35 or more in 5 straight games. My top play is the over, and I have a lean to Wake Forest. Give me Wake Forest 31, Mississippi State 28. Wake Forest ends with 9 wins in Jake Dickert's first season.
Chatting with Eric Cohen, handicapper over at Sportsline. Twitter is Cohen's Corner AZ. And then finally, the Holiday Bowl going down tomorrow. Arizona and SMU. SMU's laying 1.5. Total's 51.5. You're an Arizona guy. Are you going to back your boys?
Dustin, I will be there in person. I'm flying out early in the morning to go to San Diego to go to this game, and I am backing my boys. Listen, it's the second Holiday Bowl I've been to. The first one, 2009, Arizona didn't cross the 50 against Nebraska and lost 33-0. But this year's team is different. It was a magical 5-0 run for them in November, fueled by a defense that forced 28 turnovers this season. That's third in the nation. By the way, in their last 5 games, they've given up a combined 10 points in the fourth quarter. Everybody's on the over in this game, and everybody's buying into SMU with what we saw from Miami. I'm not. Arizona is motivated to be here. SMU, I don't think, really is. You're going to have a partisan crowd for my Wildcats. And yes, I am a little biased. Arizona 28, SMU 20. Give me the plus money. I'll lay the 2.5. I'll lay 1.5. This line's all over the place. I love my Wildcats. And yes, I am. I'm biased.
All right, your choice here. The 2 Saturday games in the NFL, Carolina-Tampa for the NFC South, 1 seed on the line with Seattle and the Niners. Which game do you want to bet on more?
Seattle-San Francisco. I think we see a revenge game from week 1. I think Seattle's defense is going to be the key here. Christian McCaffrey, not necessarily 100% for San Francisco. Brock Purdy's played out of this world. But and I hate backing Sam Darnold in a big game. I have it something like Seahawks 27, 49ers 24. So I'm laying that those points. The other one, I'll give you a pick on the other game. I actually like Carolina here. If you're Tampa Bay, listen, I mean, with the Saints not having Chris Olave, they're probably not beating the Falcons. So Tampa Bay is not going to the playoffs either way. I would dabble on Carolina on the money line at plus 135. I have it something like Panthers 24, Buccaneers 23, with the Bucs just not having a ton of motivation. They've won one game in their last eight, and it was against the stinking Arizona Cardinals. That doesn't say much.
He is Eric Cohen. You can check him out at Cohen's Corner AZ on X, Sportsline Handicapper. My friend, appreciate you doing this as always. Hope you have a happy New Year, safe travels of the bowl games, and we'll be talking again soon.
Happy New Year, and bear down to my Wildcats tomorrow.
Oh, he's a big Brennan guy. Loves Brent Brennan. Thinks he's going to take him to new heights. Loves Brent Brennan. He's Eric Cohen. And in case you're just joining us and you missed it, the Ole Miss Rebels have advanced the College Football Playoff National Semifinals. They took down the Georgia Bulldogs in the Sugar Bowl, 39-34, to cap off a day of football that, you know what, up until then was not all that exciting, but we got our money's worth in the end, with Ole Miss pulling off the 6.5-point upset over Georgia. And Georgia just never felt like Georgia all year. And you know what? I think that speaks volumes about the college football landscape, because I don't know if anyone feels like the traditional powers have in the past. Alabama certainly didn't look like Alabama earlier today. And I think that's going to be the way things are for a while under this new world order that we're living in. Start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. It's the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with the holiday special. Sign up now, get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. Best bets, betting splits, 24/7 video, plus coverage of every major sport. Start the new year with an edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Man, what a day. What a day. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you making us part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. You can always check out the show on X at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live. Let us know where you stand with the college football play. If anyone got futures alive, I'm sitting on Miami 16-1, a little nibble on 70-1 as well, but mostly on that 16-1 ticket. And this is a weird thing for me to say. I didn't have a lot of liability with college football futures for the national championship. Now, Heisman Trophy was another story where I got crushed, but national championship, it was Miami, it was Notre Dame, it was Texas Tech, and there might have been one, Utah, 90-1, and there might have been one more in there. So for me, that's not a lot. Maybe for you, it's a lot. But for me, I like to throw it around, have a little bit of fun here with those long shots. But in case you missed it, Miami, my ticket, is still alive. And they're going to take on Ole Miss in the national semifinals. Right now, we're looking at a 3-point number. Miami is your favorite over Ole Miss. And we're looking at a total of 52.5. We also have Oregon meeting Indiana in a rematch. That will be in the semifinals as well. Hoosiers laying 4, totals 46.5. 46.5. But how did we get here? In case you missed it earlier today, the Orange Bowl got the day started as Oregon took down Texas Tech 23-0. Texas Tech's offense never showed up. And you always wonder, when a team is down in Miami and they're there for an extended period, did they get beaten by Oregon, or did they get beaten by that nightlife? Did they get beaten by the South Beach flu? Because you always question if that's going to happen with these guys, because I don't. Now, it's not like Oregon's offense was lighting the world on fire either, but they did enough. They made enough plays, and that was our handicap coming in. We had Oregon on the money line, minus 128. We also played the under as well. But my thought was, Oregon had a diverse group of weapons that I knew, with tight end, with running backs and receivers, that when they needed to make a play or two, I just trusted them more than Texas Tech. And I'm not a big Big 12 guy. I think the Big 12 is very much in a gap. You've got the group of three, and I'm going to include the ACC in the group of three, but I've got the Big Ten and the SEC, then the ACC right here, and below them is a group by itself, which is just the Big 12. Following the Big 12, we've then got the group of five. And I think that they're a bit of a tweener conference. They're not really up there with the elites, but they're not down there with the groups, and they're going to be included in all of this, and people are going to talk about them like they're the Big 12. The Big 12 isn't the Big 12 anymore, okay? Let's be fair. The Big 12 was the Big 12 because of Texas and Oklahoma. They left. It's a totally different league now that shouldn't be treated and looked at the same way. And unfortunately for Texas Tech, they completely no-showed, which made the league look even worse today. It was all about defense. Neither offense could really do a lot. It was whoever could do just enough, and the Ducks did just enough. 309 yards on offense to Tech's 215. Dante Moore a little bit better than Baron Morton. Actually, a lot better than Baron Morton, even though the stats don't suggest it. Baron Morton was horrible. He was the Big 12's most efficient passer this year. Went 18-32 for a 137 and two interceptions. It's the first shutout in the Orange Bowl since 91 when Miami beat Nebraska 22-0. Texas Tech hadn't been shut out in a bowl game since 96 when they lost the Alamo Bowl 27-0 to Iowa. Brandon Finney, freshman defensive back for Oregon, he had two interceptions and a fumble recovery. If he was listed with the two catches, the two interceptions, as a receiver for Texas Tech, he would have been their third leading receiver in terms of receptions today. Oregon went 4 of 19 on third down, but 4 for 8 on fourth down. Texas Tech just didn't have an inspired offensive game plan. I thought it was a little weird that the thought process for Texas Tech was, we're just going to show up and out-physical Oregon. Let's be very clear about this. Texas Tech did an awesome job of filling out their roster in the transfer portal. And they got some dudes in there, some studs, and they made the season a success by getting to the playoff. But to think that you're going to out-physical a team, just line it up and just play straight football against Oregon that has consecutive years of building this and recruiting year after year after year, I thought that was foolhardy for Joey McGuire and a big mistake. Let's hear for Dan Lanning, who reacted to the win and advancing to the national semifinals.
Unbelievable. Game, a lot of fun. We've talked to our guys about being battle tested all year and having to win in different ways. You know, that game went back and forth in a lot of ways. You know, struggled at times to go score points, and our defense did an unbelievable job getting the ball back, and then our offense showed up when it mattered most there at the end of the game. I think we out-physicaled our opponent at the end, but a lot of respect for Coach McGuire and the team that he's had. They shouldn't discredit him. I remember this feeling last year, right? When you have a really good team, you play really good football all year, and then it comes to an end, and that's the way it is for every team but one. You know, certainly grateful for our fans and excited to see them show up in Atlanta, but proud of our players, the resiliency that they showed, their ability to stay calm and poised and collected under pressure. It's not easy in big moments, but these guys have shown and proven time after time, these two guys up here, that team in that locker room have shown time and time again that they're ready for big moments.
I mean, that defense for Oregon, they held the number two scoring offense in FBS, averaging 42 points per game to, let me count, carry the one, drop the two, 0 points today. I mean, that is an epic performance in a big spot by the Oregon defense. Joey McGuire also met with the media following the loss and had this to say.
It's no fun being in that locker room right now. I've said it all year long. Been doing this for 31 years. I've never been a part of a closer group of men, and never been so proud. You know, the one thing that I told them, and I truly believe it, like when you do something that nobody's ever done what these guys did wearing this uniform ever. And so then the standard set. And, you know, that's where you start building something really special. And so I can't thank them enough. And this is going to hurt for a long time. I know these guys are hurting right now, but can't be more proud of my football team.
Yeah, tough one for Texas Tech. The season's still a success, and they proved what anyone can do in the portal. If you've got a few pieces returning that you like and you're willing to spend for at least 1 year, right? That's the beauty of this portal, is if you're just bringing in guys, mercenaries, for one season to make a push, maybe two seasons, you don't have to invest in 4 years. You can just follow the Texas Tech model, and you could potentially end up in the postseason like they were. You just got to show up a little bit better than the Red Raiders did. Now, after that game, we had an absolute blowout, the Rose Bowl. Words that I don't even understand. If you could go back to me, who fell in love with college football back in 06, 07-ish, and the words Indiana in the Rose Bowl, for starters, then beating Alabama, next sentence, followed by final score, 38-3, that person would say you're living in an alternate reality that is not going to happen. Those words shouldn't exist, but it's exactly what happened, and it's absolutely justified. Indiana makes me hate myself. That is my evaluation of the Indiana Hoosiers. I bet them over 8.5 wins on the season. I hyped them up in the summer. I love the addition of Fernando Mendoza. Did I bet him to win the Heisman? No, I did not. Did I bet them to make the college football playoff? Definitely did not. Did I bet them to win the Big Ten? Absolutely not. Maybe I took a little nibble of them to win the national title. Nope, did not. Didn't touch it. Now, I bought into Indiana a year ago. I was on them a year ago. But for some reason this year, I didn't place a single bet on them. Shame on me. Shame on me for doubting Kurt Cignetti. The best coaching job I can remember in any sport. Legitimately. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't being caught up in the moment. It is the greatest turnaround we've ever seen from someone to walk in a situation that was the losingest program in the history of college football to now be in a situation where he's 25-2, 14-0 this year. In 2 years at Indiana, he's made the playoff back-to-back seasons. They won their first ever Big Ten title. Only 2 10-win seasons in school history. He's beaten Ohio State, Alabama, and Oregon this year. They won the Heisman, as I mentioned. They beat Ohio State to win the Big Ten. They beat Alabama by 35 earlier today in the Rose Bowl, and they could potentially be the Big Ten's third straight national champion. Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana? That's where we're at with the Hoosiers. That is the level that they are at. I have been wrong every step of the way, doubting them, even though I had them on the win total. Shame on me. Shame on me for not buying into Cignetti and not understanding Fernando Mendoza is built a little bit different between the ears. I mean, you hear that when you hear him speak, but I mean that in a positive light. The way he operates in structure, the way he lets the plays come to him and doesn't make critical mistakes, it's truly a brilliant thing to watch. And they owned Alabama. Alabama didn't have a freaking chance. DeBoer was lost. Down 3-0, he went for it from his own 34 early in this game. Gave Indiana a short field to go up 10-0 on a touchdown. Then Ty Simpson, on a run, fumbled after picking up a first down. Turns out he actually cracked a rib on that play. Gave Indiana another short field. They made them pay with another touchdown. 17-0 in the blink of an eye. The touchdown drives for Indiana were only 34 and 58 yards. Kalen DeBoer mismanaged this from the jump, but I don't know if anything was going to be enough. Indiana was not going to be denied. Alabama didn't look ready. They didn't look prepared. They didn't look interested. And I think it's because they knew on the other side of the field was a team that was more talented, better than them. And that was the Indiana Hoosiers. Kalen DeBoer screwed up, guys. And the committee screwed up for Alabama and Kalen DeBoer because every slacker knows this. When you're at a job and you know that you're not good enough for that job or that position, you get out at a lateral or even upward move if an opportunity presents itself. And Kalen DeBoer, with his team in the playoff, had they not made the playoff and Notre Dame was in instead of them, there's a world where Kalen DeBoer's coach in Michigan. And for him, I think it would have been correct. Because I think after 2 years, even though they made the postseason this year, it's pretty evident. Kalen DeBoer isn't really a good fit in the SEC. I think he'd be better in the Big Ten. He'd be better in another league where he can do his own thing his way. But I didn't like the way that team looked today. He was a guy who used to win on the margins. Today, they lost on the margins because they didn't look ready for the moment. And that's not supposed to happen with the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll talk about the lines coming up in the national semifinals with Dave Tooley, VSiN Zone on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the quarterfinals of the college football playoff is in the books. The Ole Miss Rebels advance, winning the Sugar Bowl over the Georgia Bulldogs. We have Oregon taking down Texas Tech earlier today. Indiana puts a whooping on Alabama. And then, of course, we had yesterday with Miami taking care of Ohio State. To help us dissect all of that, we're going to go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in VSiN's own Dave Tooley, who joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Dave, Happy New Year. Thanks for doing this as always, my friend. I mean, how shocking were some of the outcomes today in college football? Ole Miss wins outright. Texas Tech, an elite scoring team, great defense, but they were putting up tons of points this year, shut out against Oregon. Then you have, who am I missing? Indiana, that
right, rolled.
Rolling, and then Miami, the way they took care of Ohio State. How crazy were the college football playoff quarterfinals?
Yeah, very, very crazy. Underdogs went 3-1 straight up and against the spread. And that's also 3-1 against the spread in each of the two rounds. They were favorites and dogs were 2-2 straight up in the first round, but dogs were 3-1 both rounds. And, you know, a lot of people are talking, of course, about, you know, is it a disadvantage now for the teams that get the first round bye? Because what, they're 1-7 the last 2 years, right? Under this format. Yep. So that's pretty crazy. I mean, obviously people, you know, the teams try so hard for those buys, but sometimes rust overcomes rest. Very surprising. I was on the Hurricane, so I love that upset. Unfortunately, I was on the on Texas Tech when they were a short dog. So I lost that one, even though Oregon ended up being the underdog in the end. But Indiana was impressive rolling. In the VSiN Bowl betting guide, I recommended a future on Indiana to win the national title. I got it in my plus 330. I know it's down way low now. It was even down to plus 220 after Miami of Florida upset Ohio State, because it just, you know, made their path a little easier, and actually makes it a little easier probably or theoretically with Georgia out. So it's been pretty wild this year and also last year.
Hoosiers down to plus 135 to win the title. Oregon and Miami both 3-1, and then Ole Miss is 5.5-1. And speaking of the latter, Miami and Ole Miss, they will battle in the semifinals. Miami's laying 3. The total is 51.5. I looked at it. Now, I have Miami futures. I have 16-1. I have a very small bet on 70-1. But because of that, I took a little plus 3 with Ole Miss. But I thought, I was surprised by the 3. It opened 2.5, got bet up to 3. And I think you were surprised as well.
Yeah. And again, not just because, you know, Mississippi's was the ranked number 6 and the 6th seed, and Miami number 10. But obviously, you know, there's been a lot of steam. You know, Nick Saban went on ESPN and said, you know, Miami was live if they got in the playoffs. So I think a lot of people are buying into that. So I think that's kind of why you're seeing them favored here. I'll probably be on Mississippi as well. I considered betting them to win the title, future book bet, before the playoffs started. Again, don't know if this is before your time, but years ago, Michigan basketball lost their coach before the tournament. Bill Frieder, I believe it was, and they went on to, you know, they kicked him out, they replaced him, and that team went on to win the national championship. So it's kind of the same thing here with Lane Kiffin. You know, big deal was made of him leaving the program. So it would be pretty amazing if they ran the table without him. I think, you know, Mississippi probably is the play plus 3.
Dave Tooley is our guest, VSiN columnist. Check out Tooley's takes over at VSiN.com. And of course, at View from Vegas on X. All right. The other game where we have odds for it now, Indiana and Oregon. Indiana's lane 4, totals 47.5. Did anything jump out to you first glance at that line?
It looks a little short. I mean, man, I'm not just saying that because Indiana looks so good today. I went back and looked, and when they first met in the regular season, Indiana was a 6.5-point favorite at Oregon. And they beat them by 10 on the road. So I'm a little surprised that it's shorter. Obviously, you know, people were impressed with how, you know, Oregon played today. I certainly didn't expect them to shut out Texas Tech. Their defense looked better than I gave them credit for. So, but I still don't think they're going to slow down Indiana. So if I was, you know, usually looking for dog or pass for myself, four is a little short for me there.
All right, let's go over to the NFL. Week 18 can be tricky, but maybe there's some opportunities for some ugly dogs, and you are a big dog or pass guy, so I think there's a few that may jump out to you. Let's start with Cleveland and Cincinnati. Bengals laying 7.5. 44.5 is the total. Is 7.5 enough to take it with the Browns on the road?
Absolutely. The Browns have been playing better. I mean, the defense has been, you know, doing their job all season long. And Shedeur Sanders, you know, looking better, kind of a game manager type. He's not putting up, you know, huge numbers, but yeah, the offense is looking better. And yeah, I'm surprised this is over a touchdown because Flacco's starting, right? unless I missed something. I think the line's just too long. I think plus 7.5 is the play there.
All right. Looking at your Tooley's Takes column for this week, I'm seeing a bunch of teasers. You feel like week 18 is the spot to unveil a bunch of teasers with some of these lines being a little bit longer in certain situations?
There's been a lot of weeks this year where, you know, I've traded money on my against the spread plays, but the teasers have actually, you know, help bail me out. We have a number of ones that are, again, right around that, in that teaser zone that I call it, you know, or the old quote unquote Wong teasers for the old timers that remember that, but, you know, capturing both the key numbers of 3 and 7. So yeah, you know, and I think you got to start with the Panthers on Saturday, teasing them up over a touchdown.
Okay, and then I'm looking here. I took the points with this dog, and it's an ugly dog, and I understand why people are hesitant, but 13.5 feels like a lot for Tennessee to be getting against Jacksonville. I see in your article you suggested anything 12.5 or higher. I think Tennessee, Mike McCoy on the way out, I think they're absolutely live to cover that number. I don't think they're winning outright or anything. Total in that game's 47.5, and you also like Tennessee?
Yeah, like you said before, at the start, you know, week 18 is always always these wonky numbers that we see. Obviously, this number is inflated because the Jaguars want to wrap up the AFC South. This is jacked up, you know, several points from what it would be. I mean, I would guess it would probably be 8.5 or 9 if this was just a regular week. But you know, the bookmakers know that everyone, you know, thinks Jacksonville's going to roll here. So, yeah, I think Tennessee has definitely been, you know, playing not well the last month, but they've been more competitive. And they can trade some scores and I think stay with the 2 touchdowns.
And then what about Miami and New England, where Dolphins are going up to Foxborough, Pats laying 10 and a hook, totals 45.5. Is Miami a dog you'd consider this week?
Yeah, and you're pretty much the same situation. The line's 10.5. New England's been impressive this year, no doubt. And this should definitely be over a touchdown. But I think 10.5 is too much. I mean, the Dolphins, you know, look to place a spoiler. The rookie quarterback, Ewers, was better this last week than I expected when they knocked off the Bucks. So again, I think they're going to try and end the season on a good note. And the Patriots don't have to win by margin. And in fact, if they're playing the same time as the Broncos, if the Broncos get up big, you know, they could be pulling their starters as well. So it could be a backdoor situation, against some scrubs.
He is Dave Tooley. You can read his Tooley Takes column over at VSiN.com. Also on X at View from Vegas. VSiN's columnist. Hey, man, I appreciate you doing this as always. Good luck with all the bets. And I hope you and the family have a happy new year.
You too. And yeah, good luck in the playoffs, both college and pro.
Yeah, we need some more winners. That's what we need. We need some more. Although, let me look real quick. I'm going to be really annoying for a moment. Last I looked over at VSiN.com/picks, I was number one the last 7 days. I know it was really unappealing. I'm number two. I've made more money, but I'm number two behind Chris Felica. Felica's 6-1-1. I have 62 bets the last 7 days. 35-26-1. That is a 57.4%. I'm going to bring it up just because it hasn't been a great year. And today we went 4-3, so not the best day in the world. However, more winners to find when it comes to Week 18. And we will look at the National Football League coming up in our next segment. Lamar Jackson has finally spoken, and we know who's starting at quarterback for a couple of playoff teams this week. We'll deliver all of that on the other side of Cashing Out.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here. You there. Appreciate you joining me, making us a part of your night, however you're tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. As we hit the air, we got to go through the end of the Sugar Bowl, which was just epic, as Ole Miss took down Georgia to advance to the national semifinals, a meeting with the Miami Hurricanes coming their way. And by the way, Miami is favored by 3. I've got Miami to win it all at 16-1, a little bit at 70-1. I took them plus 3, Ole Miss plus 3 as a hedge of my bet, but I don't know if I trust that number. Look, maybe I'm a self-hating Miami fan, but I have a lot of concerns about them chasing down Trinidad Chambliss, because if he's able to get away from a Reuben Bain or an Akeem Mezidor and make one guy miss, who else is catching him? All of a sudden, that over-pursuit could lead to a lot of plays on the ground. Now, it's not a lot you can count for just because that means broken plays that you're using in your handicap, but Trinidad Chambliss used broken plays to eat up Georgia today as they won that game and advanced to take on Miami in the next round. In case you're also wondering, Indiana dominated Alabama in the Rose Bowl and in the Orange Bowl. It was all Oregon over Texas Tech. They will meet in a rematch from earlier in the year. We will see how that all goes down. Some more best bets and analysis all day long on VSiN. So stay with us as we will have breakdowns of all of those games. We've done a lot of college, though, tonight on the program, which means we have neglected the NFL. It is week 18. It is about to be upon us, and we have the one seed on the line in the NFC. We have the NFC South, the AFC North, battles duking it out. All these games with major implications and a lot of news hitting the wire throughout the afternoon. Let's tackle the top stories in the NFL with the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
What do you want, Simone? What do you want, Simone? What do you want, Simone?
Every single day.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
Let's begin in Charm City, where Lamar Jackson spoke with the assembled media earlier today and said he will play against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, which is crucial. Hey, they get into the dance, anyone's ball game. This thing is wide open this year. No Mahomes, no Burrow. It's an opportunity for the Ravens to make some noise. But how do you feel about Baltimore? I've got them 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. Felt like the smartest kid in the class, man. I bet it when they were 1-5. You know what they are right now to win the Super Bowl? They're 22-1. You can get the same number I got then. That lets you know what the market thinks about Baltimore. I don't think the Ravens are as good as people think. I think there's some people out there thinking they make a run because they're going to use the run game of Derrick Henry. I don't know if I trust them. I think John Harbaugh's lost his fastball. And there's been some weird stuff going on with the organization. Lamar Jackson addressed some of that when he met with the media. But let's begin with him talking about the fact that he's going to suit up as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, as they are 3.5-point road favorites, and the total is 41.5.
Can you say now if you're going to be starting Sunday in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
you got a full week of practice.
Feel great to be out there with my guys, as always. Feel great.
And the importance of this game. At one point, you guys were 1-5.
Yeah.
And I think it was less than a 10% chance of making the playoffs. And now you got a 100% chance if you win.
Yeah, very important, man. Like you said, we started off 1-5. Tremendous, change. Looking forward to playing Sunday, though.
Yeah, you better win it Sunday. If you lose to this version of the Steelers, with Aaron Rodgers not having DK Metcalf, where, by the way, I think is a big Kenneth Gainwell game. I bet him over receptions. I bet him over yards. I don't care about the number. I think Kenneth Gainwell might be the number one receiver on the Steelers this week. I really think that Baltimore's not great defending running backs catching the ball, but more importantly, who else is Rodgers throwing to? I'm also on the under here. I bet the under. I don't see a lot of points coming either way. And that's with two defenses I don't trust, because I trust the offenses even less. I'm not sure what Lamar is right now. I'm not sure how healthy he is. I think he's got a back injury. I think he's got some sort of leg injury. It might be a couple different ones. He's not 100%. So I don't know if I'm willing to get with some of the people that I'm hearing that are saying that they're going to go on a run. This team has given me trust issues all year long. A lot of us had them power rated number one heading into the year. I bet them to have the most wins. I bet Harbaugh to be a long shot coach of the year, because I thought there was a world where they won 14, 15 games and they were so dominant that he'd have to be considered. None of that came close to fruition. They are limping into the playoffs. I don't know why people think just because they get in, they're going to turn it on. Now they have shown no signs that they've improved or learned from any of their mistakes. As far as this game is concerned, TJ Watt limited on Thursday in practice. Mike Tomlin said that he wants Watt to get in a full week of practice before he's cleared. Calvin Austin limited on Thursday. And then we have the thought of Aaron Rodgers' future hanging over this contest. I love the under. Under in their meetings is 8-2 since 2021, 4-0 in Pittsburgh during that span. Now, behind the scenes, there's been some talk that maybe Lamar Jackson and management and John Harbaugh may not be on the same page, and Lamar addressed that when he met with the media earlier.
They said that you fallen asleep at meetings. How do you respond to that?
Do you think Harbaugh let me fall asleep at his meetings? That's crazy. I'm right in the front. Like, man, I don't know, man. It is what it is, though. Like I said, you just know us.
Fans do ask, like, does Lamar want to be here? Is he where he wants to be?
Absolutely. I don't even know where that come from.
All right, I'm pretty impressionable, but I'm also a good read of people. That seemed pretty genuine. Like, the laughter, it wasn't forced. Like, when you think about, like, some of the other people that we see at the podium with the way, like, they're always on, quote-unquote. Lamar Jackson's just kind of himself all the time. I'm actually buying what he said there, so maybe there isn't this disconnect between him and Harbaugh and him and management there in Baltimore. And him falling asleep in meetings is a wild statement for someone to throw out there. So you better be right if you're going to put that out there into the universe. But I don't doubt Lamar wanting to win. I don't doubt all of these things. I just question how this whole season's gone for everyone involved. It's really weird. Really weird what's gone down. I think the defense is the biggest issue when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens this season. All right, next story up in the three-point stance. News out of Green Bay. As Matt LaFleur announced, Clayton Tune is going to start at quarterback. He told reporters that Jordan Love will practice earlier this week, and he was cleared from concussion protocol. However, they're going to go with Clayton Tune because they're locked into the seventh seed. And I think that makes all the sense if you're Matt LaFleur to avoid any injuries to anyone else and not really go for this thing in this game because you have nothing to gain, only something to lose. And right now against Minnesota, Minnesota is currently a home favorite of 7.5. This number's moved from 6.5 to 7.5. Totals ticked down 37.5 down to 35.5. Total's pretty low. And I'm really only targeting unders this week. There's a couple overs that make sense. Like, I think Seattle and San Francisco is an over I'd consider. The Giants and Dallas is an over I'd consider. This game at 35.5 is an over I'd consider. And that's even with Clayton Tune at quarterback. I think Green Bay's defense isn't going to look too great. Aside from them potentially playing some backups, but you got no Micah Parsons. You have no help on the defensive line to fill the void from Wyatt being gone. And then Minnesota trying to get their offense going. I think there's a chance that this could slightly go over this total because it is so low. I'm not touching it, though. I want nothing to do with this game. Just wanted to pass along the news that they announced Clayton Tune will start in this matchup. Josh Jacobs limited on Thursday in practice. Dontavian Wicks did not practice earlier today. TJ Hockenson didn't practice on Thursday. Neither did Aaron Jones. Jordan Mason got a full practice in. And Kevin O'Connell said J.J. McCarthy was planning on practice. He had a positive day yesterday going through workout with trainers. Some trends that make sense here. LaFleur 20-11 against the spread as a road dog. He is 24-17 against the spread versus the NFC North. Kevin O'Connell only 8-11 against the spread as a home favorite. O'Connell 10-12 against the spread in division. So if you don't like to do something with the total where I actually think the over might be live, I think you can only look at taking it with Green Bay, even though Clayton Tune is at quarterback there. Because if McCarthy isn't cleared and he's not able to go, it's Max Brosmer. And then it's a coin flip and you're getting more than a touchdown in that game. And then finally, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles making it official. Tanner McKee will be their starter against the Washington Commanders in week 18 for Philly. This side has moved. Philly open minus 12. They're down to 3.5 at FanDuel. Totals ticked from 42 and a hook down to 38 and a hook at some shops. But Tanner McKee's going to start. And you know what? I kind of like Philly. I'm laying the four with Philly. I think they're live here with their backups against a bad Washington defense that's likely going to be starting Josh Johnson. Mariota probably not going to be giving it a go. He's doubtful for this matchup. I do think that Tanner McKee, because think about the mindset. This is a guy who's been a backup, wants to prove he's a starter, and he has a chance here if he moves the football and does something. It could help him down the road find a job. If someone needs a quarterback, they're impressed by what he does. We always go back to Matt Flynn back in the day with what he did for Green Bay and then eventually got paid by Seattle. I do think there's a world where Tanner McKee ends up having a pretty nice day. Lane 4 at home against the Link. Sirianni 17-5 against the spread as a home favorite of 7 or less. I think even with those backups, we're looking at Grant Calcaterra, Jahan Dotson, Will Shipley, Tank Bigsby. I think as a group, they're going to be able to move the football against this Commanders defense. I like Philly a lot, -4, which is a weird thing to say when they're benching just about everyone in their lineup. All right, that's where we stand with the top stories in the NFL. We will tackle the rest of Week 18 throughout the next hour on the show, including during our conversation, going behind the counter at the Westgate with Arthur DeCesar, coming up next right here on Cashing Out.